Did you guys get coffee in the break? Last break? I know, man. You said there was coffee, right? I didn't see coffee. Are you guys awake for the, what is this, 2:30 show?
2:30 show.
2:30 show. And how long do we have? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Okay. Well, my name's Tommy Joe, and I'm the National Director of Epic Movement, and the last 20, since 88, how many years is that? Over 25 years. Too long. Wow. I've been doing campus ministry the whole time. Man, it's kind of crazy. I was going to do campus ministry for 2 years. That was my commitment. That was it. And now here I am at, just having to wander around. I'll do this. Should I hold it? Somebody want to hold this in front of me as I talk? Because I'm going to wander a lot. But again, been in ministry since 1988 on multiple different campuses. 18 years I was with Asian American Christian Fellowship, that's AACF. And then in 2006, I went to Campus Crusade, now known as CRU, and started the Epic Movement. An Epic Movement has a little bit different horsepower with Campus Crusade, so it's national, a lot more stress and headache, but it's a lot of fun. And I have two kids. They're wandering around campus someplace. I have no idea where they are, but anyway, what I want you guys to do is to get to know each other a little bit. Actually, first thing, if you have a smartphone, go to Facebook right now if you want a prize. And if you go to Facebook and you look up Epic Movement with no space, okay, Epic Movement, no space, and you like Epic Movement, I will give you a gift. But you just got to tell me before we leave, and I'll give you a gift. It's a really nice luggage tag. So I'd do anything to build our social media. So I'll give you a really cool luggage tag that you can put on your luggage, okay? So go on Facebook, Epic Movement, no space, okay? And if you like it, I will give you a cool luggage tag. That's my advertising, but you got a free gift. So what I want you to do is to cluster around, you know, 4 or 5 people and ask a question or two to each other. I just want to know who you are, but I can't ask everybody because it'll take the whole time. But what context do you do ministry? Like, are you a church pastor? Are you a campus minister? What are you good at? Like, 4 or 5, you're a cluster of 4 or 5, you're probably better in something than anybody else in your group, for sure, and then probably better in this whole room. If you dig down, okay? You could be, you know, be arrogant. Just be like, I'm probably better at, you know, watermelon seed spinning or something like that. Okay, what makes you attractive? Not physically, okay? But what makes you attractive, especially to college students? What do you think, why do you think a college student would want to hang out with you? Okay? You got money. I don't know what it is. And then kind of what are you looking for in this seminar? So let's spend about 5 minutes getting to know just a small cluster. Go ahead and go. Those questions. Do you want to pause? You want to pause? You sure?
I love it when people walk in late and they go, why is there so much disruption? Why is everybody talking? But I want to out you. So what's somebody that is in your group? Why? Who's really good at doing something? And what is it? Did you get to that question?
We skipped that one.
The second one. Are you really? Did you really?
Going to talk about it and then you
Oh, okay. So what's your ministry? Say somebody's ministry context. What type of ministry do they do?
Oh, well, Kay does ministry.
You guys just, you listening? Okay.
With international students, with ICI.
ISI,
yay. Okay, awesome. And then how about Ross?
I have a missionary in Latin America. I go and speak to college-age students with their seminary students.
In what part of Latin America?
Different countries?
Got it. Let's see. This group here, somebody who's probably the best at whatever, why don't you share? You can out somebody else, unless you want to be out yourself. Like, what are you good at? Could be one ministry skill and something else. Like,
personally, I'm really just part of just one ministry at my church, was the youth ministry. So I don't know if I'm extremely good at it or anything, but one skill for me is, like, I like to write.
Ooh.
So I have a lot of experience doing different types of writing, like business proposals and plans and marketing strategies, and also I also do creative writing as well.
Really? Awesome. How about somebody else in your group? Who, are they good at something else that was a standout? You could out somebody. Okay, go ahead, Marianne.
Yeah?
Yeah, please.
I'm the college group admin, I guess. I'm organized.
Okay. So you're really, you feel organization is your strength. Probably better, I need you then. I need it badly. Awesome. How about this group? Come on, Lauren, help me out. So Lauren, tell me some of your ministry, your folks in this group, what type of context they do, what kind of ministry context?
Most of us, I think all of us are junior high.
Your junior high? You look
no,
so
with,
old.
With junior high. yeah, we got some musical talent.
Okay. So, Christine, you can say yourself or somebody else in your group, what's like the standout gift or talent?
Very creative and good with art.
Good with art and creative. Awesome. Okay. How about this group over here? Let's see. What is your name? Esther?
Esther.
And what ministry context are you in?
I serve as a deacon at a church, and we have a discipleship ministry or more mentoring ministry, as well as a sort of education / training.
Okay. And this isn't a weird question. Like, I'm not trying to make it weird, but like, what makes somebody in your group, or including you, attractive? Like, why would I want to be mentored by this person?
I really appreciated when Diana was sharing, because she really understood how she was built and how she was created, and she was saying that she's attractive because people are not intimidated by her, so her approachability is really something that makes it easy for her to be able to interact with others. Even though she's not a large group person, she can build one-on-one relationships, and so I thought that was really a critical piece of just knowing who you are, and I thought that was really awesome that she could identify that to me, seemingly a young age. So.
Awesome. Okay, back table. Why are you guys here? What's like a couple of expectations you want out of the seminar on mentoring in a college context?
Real life application.
Real life application. Good. A couple more.
For me, I guess it's I just started leadership in an university.
Awesome.
And it's all new to me, so I'm hoping I can gain some insight into.
Ivy is awesome. Yeah, great. What campus are you at?
Cal State Fullerton.
A great school. How come we couldn't do anything in there? No, it's. I'll explain that later. One of my buddies that's here laughing at me. Okay, so one of the things I forgot to say, well, let me just, the reason why I'm sharing, because I can't get, we can't have everybody ask all these questions, and I can't get the feedback quick enough. So this kind of gives us a flavor from where we're at. Different ministries, campus ministries, to high school ministries, to church ministries, some are pastors. You have different skills from administration and writing to listening to organization, musicians. Nobody talked about their sports. Like, who's a sports? Who does sports fishing? Like, who's really into deep sea fishing?
Fishing?
I am the fishing. I am the best in this room then of deep sea fishing. I can claim that. Now, all those things that you do, it could be cooking, it could be music, it could be fixing computers. All those things make you who you are, and there's a certain level of attraction that's very important in the mentoring relationship. And we're going to kind of delve into some of these theoretical stuff and then make it real practical at the end. But one of the things I always say when I speak to a group, if you're bold enough to ask, I'm bold enough to answer, as long as it's not a confidential issue with somebody. Okay? So if there's any questions that you have, deep as you want to go, fire away. Okay? And I almost wish my kids were here because they can embarrass me in front of everybody. But I want to talk about some theory first. And then I want to go into some practical stuff. So a little bit of theory. There's a mentoring theory called the continuum. And this is going to be really awkward because I have to lift the screen up. Have you guys ever listened to any formal talks on mentoring that give you the theoretical mentoring issue? Oh, it doesn't stop, Patrick, does it?
Oh.
Okay, it won't. Okay. So if there's a continuum, if I could say it, a continuum in mentoring, I kind of mentioned that during our question answer time, there's kind of a huge line going from formal to informal. I know I should have done this on a PowerPoint presentation because my writing's worse than the PowerPoint stuff. But if you were thinking about a formal mentoring relationship, okay, super formal, what do you think it might be? Anybody want to write for me? Anybody got that? Huh? Okay, like a small group. Okay, what else? Throw some stuff up.
Classroom setting.
Huh?
Classroom setting.
Okay.
Paperwork.
Paperwork? Forms?
Evaluation.
Okay, evals.
if they're hopefully interactive, but it could be. What else? How about a coach? How about spiritual director? How about a discipler? Right? Like a discipleship, the discipleship relationship is pretty formal. So if you were to think of a kind of the other direction, like real passive, what would you think a passive or informal type of relationship might be? This is the card one. And remember I was talking about the range of mentoring earlier during the question and answer time? Think of some passive ways or some informal ways you might get. This is the caught side. This is the taught side, right?
Lifestyle.
What else on that side?
Unplanned.
Say again?
Unplanned.
Unplanned. I would write serendipitous, but I can't. It's too long.
Casual friendship.
Friendships. Some modeling, right? So these can be things that are like a contemporary model, like, I have never met this person, but I really like them. Like, I always say this wrong. Is it Bono, thank you. Bono. Everybody likes Bono. He's like, well, he's always on the face, he's on Facebook. Everybody likes what he does. That could be like a contemporary historical figure, right? Informal, you never have any contact with him, but it's still kind of an informal, caught type of mentoring, even though you've never met him before. You never will. Or maybe you've read a book about somebody. Or maybe it's somebody that you've heard about, like Jesus, and you could read his life. But you've never really physically met him, if I could say it that way, but you're engaging with him. Okay, and kind of the middle part is this, like, counselor, teachers, or sponsors. That's kind of the middle. It's kind of both, are they really mentoring or are they not? So one of the reasons why I bring that up is sometimes we don't think we're mentors, but a lot of us are very much mentors in this spectrum of the middle part, and we just don't realize it. Your life, what you do, how you treat your friends, how you treat your dog, how you treat your wife, your kids, is a form of mentoring. And if you go into a situation where you're a disciple or a small group leader, that goes into the more of the formal, the active type of intensive type of mentoring. And this is called, again, the continuum of mentoring. So this is all mentoring. It's kind of all mentoring. And you could mentor somebody who's not, I call them pre-believers, right? When you're doing evangelism, that's a form of mentoring. Okay. And so there's a bunch of dynamics that go along with this, and those dynamics include things like, you know, like your attraction. Like, are you like what they do? Do you like what they represent? Do you like who they are? Things like that. I could learn how to write. If I could learn how to do a grant proposal or help me out on writing, I would love to be mentored by that. Or, you know, I organizationally, you know, I have problems following this system, and if I could get coaching on that. Or it might be finances or newborns. Oh my gosh. How many parents, not very many, how many parents have like I have a new kid, I don't know what to do. How do I change a diaper? You know, and things like that. So there's a lot of different issues on the continuum of types of mentoring that can go along. So dynamics are attraction, relationship, responsiveness, accountability, things like that. Those are the kind of the dynamics in terms of how it leads. My projector's off. Somebody help me. Do I just press the button? Yes? No?
It's got a warm back up.
Does it? Okay. Then there's this, a lot of the material that I'm getting is from a guy named Bobby Clinton. And so if you want to write his name down, write down Bobby Clinton and mentoring, and then Google his stuff. And if you Google his stuff, you get a freebie awesome PDF that's free, but you actually are supposed to buy it from the Fuller Library, a Fuller bookstore for $12, but you can get it for free. And he has a basically it's a 60-something page book, and basically his notes that he's taken on his lecture notes about mentoring. And one of the people he's worked with closely is a guy named Paul Stanley. And Paul Stanley's thesis is this: a Christian worker needs a relational network which embraces mentors, peers, and emerging leaders. A Christian worker needs a relational network which embraces mentors, peers, and emerging leaders. Oh, I was supposed to give you another gift. Did I bring it? Okay, so you guys can help me out. This is your unbelievable, cherished gift that you're going to have today, okay? So if you can help me pass one card out to everybody on this side of the room, and if you can help me pass it. These are really nice. Okay. It'll warm up. Okay. So this is called Stanley's Constellation Model. And since we can't heat up the projector, I'll do this. Oh, it's coming. It's okay. I'll go on this side. It'll still be over here. Okay, here's the important part, okay? This is a very important part of this card. Has anybody seen this before? This is great on your card. Can you draw an X through the whole card? Okay, it's like this is your card. Something like that. And this is Stanley's Constellation Model. Now, what the heck is this talking about in terms of mentoring? Has anybody seen this X before in the mentoring model? Okay, good. This is a little bit new for most people. So, if this is you, generally speaking, you want to have some relationships in terms of mentoring. Okay, you want to have first people who you're mentored by. Again, this kind of thing. Looking at this, if this was the formal and the informal. And so if you have formal mentors or informal mentors, usually you want something from a mentor above you, okay? So it would be something like, Tommy, I'm gonna have a kid soon. My wife and I wanna know how you dealt with feeding and diaper changing and the first few, what was your system of getting life together? You know, that's a common question, right? It's a common question that a lot of new parents, you guys are going, that's not what I'm into. Okay, so how about it's something like, how do I really know the person I'm trying to check out is the one? Oh, wait, now everybody believes that one. Okay? How would I know? So who would you actually, whatever your thing you want to know, if you want to know about the best fishing tackle and the best prices and the best place to get it, talk to me, and I'll mentor you on that, right? So what you could do is, if you can pick an idea of what you want to be mentored by, it could be a life stage issue, it could be a career issue, it could be a biblical knowledge issue, it could be a computer purchase issue. Hopefully it's not that simple. Do something a little bit bigger. Why don't you put down a name? So for me, I would want somebody that is, I'm looking for, I'm looking for organizational coaching that I can actually sustain. I've been coached by 1,000 coaches, and they're not 1,000, but coaches, and the coaching just, it's never really takes in terms of how to administrate people. So I'm looking for that type of person, okay? Now, who would I think that would be good at that? I don't know. But that's what I'm looking for. So the more specific I can have that organization, okay? But let's say it's just on discipleship, or what person would be that person who you're looking for? So put down a name. If you put down a thing that you need and what you're looking for. Got the person's name there. I'm not going to put their full name because I want to protect the innocent. Okay? Now, you have a lot of things to offer, right? Some of you guys are good at explaining complex issues and breaking it down for people, especially our pre-believers or new believers, right? Some of you are good at writing or communication. Some of you are good listeners or empathic. Some of you have the gift of mercy or are able to teach people about mission or culture. So that would be called a downward mentoring. Who can you mentor on the bottom? Like if you were to pursue somebody, like I think I would like to pursue this person to mentor. Why don't you put down a couple of names here?
Okay, so this is, again, this is the constellation. This is you. You're being mentored by people, and this is who you're going to be mentored by. And this is other one about co-mentors. Okay? The co-mentors are tricky because they're people like, it's like a Jonathan and David relationship. Jonathan and David were equals. There was no hierarchical relationship to them, but they were definitely mentors, right? They were definitely involved with each other's lives as a brother, closer than a brother. That's a type of side-by-side co-mentoring that we're talking about. But there's two arrows on the co-mentoring. One's inside your ministry, and then outside of your ministry. So within your ministry context, who is somebody that you're with that you're kind of co-mentoring on a daily basis or on a regular basis? And then if you think about this one, who outside of your ministry context are you in that kind of relationship with? Does that make sense? So not with your church, not with your whatever. Let's see, I'm going to put mine down here because I have people that are kind of outside of a ministry, but I'm kind of mentoring them, but they're kind of mentoring me as well, so it's kind of on that continuum. But there are certain people that are outside of the ministry that are coming, that they want to have a perspective relationship, and then we meet. Again, understand that these can be formal or informal, but I'm just trying to get a spectrum of what that is. That's called the constellation model. And the reason why that's important, I actually keep that as a check to see if I'm actually in relationship with people on a regular basis in terms of mentoring. And that's called Stanley's constellation model. That's a little bit of theory. Okay, so what I want to do is just kind of give you a kind of rundown of what other people have said about me. And I did a survey from people from 1988. Yes, students are almost in their 50s. From 1988 to recently, even as early as this summer. Students that I've either discipled, mentored. And again, that's a loose term, because some of it's intense, and some of it's just meeting on a kind of a deep friendship on a mission. And I asked, what did you learn from me? And what nugget or concept did you take away? And then what did I miss? Okay? And so I asked them these three questions. And I had some synthesis and observation. So that's the raw data. You see yours there? Okay, you see it? Something about a diaper change, but something about poop in there, and I'll explain that later if we have time. Remember that first thing I asked about. Okay, so I took a bunch of this data, and I kind of synthesized it, and I kind of synthesized it into just a few observations. You don't have to read that, because that's not relevant. But the synthesis is this. Presence came up all the time in terms of this, like just being there, eating at your house, doing things together. The second thing was, like, purpose. And the third thing were some of the misses. So under the presence, again, it's the concept of just being with. Consistency and commitment were huge. Things that came out. Almost every person talked about you were there, you were consistent, and if I could say it that way, you were on time. The other aspect was transparency, both the positive and the negative things. They saw how I interacted with my wife or my kids, and there's a lot of mention in terms of how I mentored or how I was observed interacting with my kids, and I'm terrified about that because sometimes, as you all know, parents aren't the greatest mentors, but they actually appreciated it, or they're not telling me the other side, I don't know. Eating, a lot of food, and Ben was talking about the qualities of an Asian American minister, an Asian American mentor compared to others. I think he missed one big one this morning. You know, that one that's huge was eating. We eat together all the time. And that's a big deal, a community, and just bringing it together. Observing and then sharing. Okay, the second one is purpose. The whole purpose of what I try to do as a mentor is point to the cross. Then we talked about this whole issue of truth and grace. A lot of it has to do with honesty, being truthful about how somebody's interacting with somebody else, or how their character is, or some of the hurt they may be causing others or themselves. Some of it is how to, like how to disciple, how to study the Bible, how to lead something, how to be a leader. Some of it's voice, being able to stand up for what you're saying or to be empowered as a woman or a man, and vice versa. Or a person that's a believer in Christ in the classroom and their prof is knocking them down. How do I have a voice? Taking with is huge. I taken with people like Micah. We went on missions together to South America as a family. Our family and a bunch of students went together. Going on a short-term project, going on a something that could be as simple as a weekend in downtown or serving together. So taking with is huge. Again, point to the cross. Leadership, being a risk taker, uniqueness, and then a great culture that is pointing to the cross or as a Christ-centered culture. Misses are interesting. Dealing with, and that term dealing with came out, discouragement, post-college, resting in grace, and discernment. A lot of the mentoring times, I thought I did more of the work on discernment, because that's kind of like finding God's will and then preparing them for post-college. I thought I did that really extensively, especially with these two. Actually, the post-college one was quite a bit in terms of they felt that it was a miss, even though I thought I spent time on it. So it's the consumer that has the last say, not me. Synthesis and observations. So my impression from this is this. Going with, living life, and living letters. Okay, now what the heck does that mean? So again, my observation about what mentoring, what college students really, really want is people going with them and walking with them in life. As a campus minister, I was never the cool campus minister that would hang out at their graduations or go to their parties. It's not my scene, that's not what I do. But I always went with them in certain other areas. And they really appreciated that, just being present in their life. Okay? Now, some other campus ministers are everywhere with them. They're just like, at all their graduations, their poker games. Do we play poker? No. All their card games, all their goofy things they do, all their Halloween parties. And they just build a tremendous sense of community and relationship. Living life with. Now, you guys are too young to have. Well, once you start having kids, college ministry is the best place to get free babysitting. Isn't that right, Micah? So Micah and his girlfriend at the time babysat my kids quite a bit, and now my kids are going to be babysitting his kids. So it's kind of I'm going to be for free. So what goes around comes around. But what happens in that relationship is that it's not just babysitting. It's life on life. And so don't be afraid to invite students into your home as young adults that aren't in the kid realm yet. It's just a wonderful place for students to see younger, older upperclassmen to interact, and to struggle with grades, and to walk with the Lord, and to cry, and to laugh together. So, living life together. Living letters is this. It's in 2 Corinthians 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some of you, letters of recommendation, to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ as a result of our ministry, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, tablets of human hearts. So the ministry, as it goes, you're actually writing letters of recommendation on people's lives. That's the mentoring. You can ask a bold enough question, but I think most of the people that I've interacted with would say that they have had a positive relationship with my mentoring relationship. I don't think there are too many people that say, you screwed up badly. You can let me know later. But those people that we've mentored are my kind of my letters of recommendation. Does that make sense? And it's really fun to see where they are in the Lord. It's really interesting, by the way. If you get older, your words, your font gets bigger, but your words gets less on the paper. It's just a little, that's different, completely different. Okay, so practical tools, a little practical stuff. I set high expectations for my formal mentoring. Now, people see me fish, and they see me hang out with kids and change diapers. That's informal. But if you're setting up a formal relationship with me, I talk a lot about why we are meeting, when we are meeting, and what we're going to cover, and for how long. Okay? It's very important to understand that. So, when we are meeting, I had one guy, we try to figure out our schedules. This guy was kind of a flake. I know, he wanted to be mentored by me, but he's not. Okay, so if you're going to do it, the only time that I have is 7:15 in the morning. This is a college student, 7:15 in the morning at the tables at top of at Cal State Long Beach. Will you be there? He goes, I will be there. So we got when and where and what. I asked him about what we were saying. I'll go over that in a second. And then we're going to do it for for 10 weeks out of a 15-week semester. He showed up every single time. Blew my mind. I mean, this guy was not somebody who I would expect to make the first meeting. He's late a couple times. But he made every meeting unbelievable. You set high expectations, and you meet those. But as a mentor, you got to be there. Because once you jack up, man, you've lost a lot of credibility. It's hard to gain that ground. I got coached recently by a professional coach that my organization would invest in a lot for that coach to be my coach. He missed 3 meetings. I was on the phone. I was on my computer with my screen open and ready to go on Google Chat. 3 meetings. The last meeting, he, again, profusely apologized. And I go, cool, but I can't afford that much time in my life as you as a coach to not be, to not show up. I'm the one that, called it, give my money back. I didn't say that. So anyway, contracting, setting high expectations, and meeting those expectations, and college students will meet that. If you say it loosey-goosey, they won't show up. But if you lay the law down, and I'm not being ugly about it, but if you lay the law down, if you lay the expectations down, usually you get great results. You saw those, what I was doing, right? When, where, what, how long, stuff like that. Pointing to the cross, okay? You have to do something in the Word. Now, what was the guy that was talking from Texas Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin.
He said people will know more of what you feel than how you feel than what you taught, right? Or what you said, which is true. But in the moment, when you're in the Word, you don't know how you're investing that Word in that person's life. A few years later, I don't even know what I said. They might know what they said, but that Word is still in their heart. Okay, and will not return void. And it's important not just to talk about, nothing wrong with Strength Finders, but Strength Finders is great, but it's not scripture. You got to really point to the cross. So some type of Bible study, some type of systematic theology, some type of spiritual disciplines, something that focuses to the cross and the Word is very important when you're doing mentoring. Now, you can be mentoring about something else, but have your core time in the Word. And they might not know what they're asking for in the mentoring thing, and I'll explain this in a second. But you can, after you get information from them, you can shape it back towards the cross. So how do I do that? One of the things I do is I interview the mentee about what are you looking for. And a lot of times they don't know. Most students don't know what they're looking for, but they know they need something. Well, just general guidance. General guidance will come with your relationship. So, you know what? If you're just doing general guidance, let's do something that focuses around the Word. Now, I've used this book by R.C. Sproul. You can hate him or love him, okay? I don't agree with everything he says, but the greatest thing that he does is lays it out very simply. One chapter, read it in about 20 minutes with scripture verses, no questions in there. It's not a pretty book. But it's concise, and you know exactly where to argue with him and against him on these issues. It's a very clear book. I'm not saying that you could buy this, you absorb the theology of applying and seeker, but it gives you a place to anchor. And one of the things that I do is I've broken down all the chapters and the subchapters, and I go, out of these 10 chapters, And I'll do it with a small group or a mentor. Pick three that you're interested in. So if it's a small group, like five people, I'll have everybody pick three chapters, like three of the Roman numerals. Okay? And they can't agree, but let's say we land on two of them. Two of them have 10 to 20 subjects you can talk about that. And after, let's say we talk about salvation, and there's, I don't know how many, I can't even do the math, there's 20 of them in there or so. Pick five, everybody pick five, and we pick five, and then we pick the top five out of that. Does that make sense? So you might only be doing five of them out of that whole list, and then that's your kind of your small group agenda for the week or for the semester, whatever it might be. And I do that with my mentoring relationships and my small group relationships because it points into the cross. You're getting some systematic theology, but you're getting great time before and afterward just to talk about life. It puts them in that situation. And it's amazing when you can do that. It just adds to the richness of your discussion. Does anybody use that? There's another one that I would recommend is if you go to Crew Press Green and you look in Compass, it's a basic discipleship tool. Navigators, I don't know what the hot topic on Navigators, 2.7 series, is that ancient? Is that ancient? Anybody doing Navigator stuff? How about IV? Anybody basic Christian Foundation stuff for IV? Their gig studies, God investigation groups, they're great. All free online. What I'm just saying on the practical tools, use something that's in the Word, focus on that, and then let the other stuff around it come. The other two things I do is SWOT analysis. Wait, who's PNS? SWOT analysis is strength, weakness, opportunities, and threats. It's a business model, right? And what I do is to have them do a life map based on how they would do a business. Like, what are your strengths? And discuss that for a time. What are your opportunities? What are your weaknesses? What are your threats? And you kind of go through that whole model. And it's a business model. You can download that online and figure out that it's a great way to mentor somebody for life direction. A PMS is a personal mission statement. Go ahead, question on that, SWOT.
Yeah, what's the OT?
Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And if you Google SWOT, SWOT, you'll come up with the templates already done for you, and you just kind of plug in the questions. It's secular. It's kind of neither here nor there. But it's a good tool to understand a person's life direction. A PMS is, sorry for the acronym, personal mission statement, and it involves a SWOT analysis. It involves future direction issues. It involves some spiritual direction, and again, it's a great way to mentor college students. The only practical way to make this any more practical is that you got to come over to my house and hang out, or come on a fishing boat or a camping trip, or go change some diapers. You can change Micah's kids' diapers. Is he in diapers still?
Nope.
Sorry. Well, maybe a few months. A few months we'll have another round of diaper changing. I hope that was public. It is now.
It's public.
Okay, that's good. But anyway, I wish you can come to my home and experiences. That's kind of the only way I know how to really do ministry. But I want to throw in a Q&A and we'll close in a few minutes. Any question? Yes?
I'm a pastor and I've also served in a campus called KCM for about 10, 11 years. And in Asian culture, especially Korean culture, when we talk about mentorship, mostly for like lifetime. I'm your mentor for life. And so I want to know,
great question.
Do you think that's healthy? Because even like Ben and Walt Russell, they've been mentoring, Walt's been mentoring Ben for like 25 years. And so is that healthy? Is that okay? Or do you suggest like, hey, we're going to be together for like a year after that, I'm going to let you go and you be your own person and like, go mentor someone else?
Yeah. Mentoring and discipleship, being a disciple is for a lifetime. Like being mentored is for a lifetime. Finding one person to be mentored by for a lifetime is unusual, but incredibly valuable. And it all depends on the continuum where this is at. And sometimes those relationships might be more of an informal situation. They don't realize they're being mentored. It can be more of a formal. And there's a certain level of intensity. So sometimes I would agree that those types of mentors are valuable, but they're very difficult to find that you're going to actually have it that long and that frequent and that regular. If you can find it, great, seek that. I have one.
maybe two. The other one doesn't know it. Maybe three. Does that make sense? He's a mentor, but he doesn't know it. So the relationship, I'm asking questions, but he doesn't really know he's mentoring me, but he very much is. I wish I could share about my friend later, but yeah, I'll share about him. One of my buddies we've been friends since high school. He was if I could say it this way, he was a dumber than a doornail football player, quote unquote. He was a C student average in high school. And then we were sitting together in the library, and he said he was pulling out A's. And I think he's BSing me. There's no way you could be pulling out A's. Because I was struggling. Anyway, I'd leave, and I noticed he'd always be in the library afterwards. And I leave. And then finally I started to hang out with him until the library closed like he did. And all of a sudden my grades came up. He went on to graduate school. I actually finished school. I didn't think I was ever going to finish school. And I attribute my relationship to him as being a mentor. This is when I was in high school, college. Well, this dumber than a doornail guy was basically an internship at IBM, doing stupid stuff at IBM as an intern. Not really glamorous. But he got his way into the Lenin School of Economics. I had no idea what the Lenin School of Economics is. I thought it was a school in England. It's the Harvard Business School of England. He got there. How did he? I didn't even know it was that prestigious until way later. It was kind of another funny story. But this guy mentors me. The things he does, how he acquires data, how he manages his life, how, you know, he has certain compartments. And we were friends. We're close friends. And it's a lifelong. I don't have this one. The one up here is a little bit lacking. It's more on the historical side. It's more the informal, but not a formal side. But if you can get that, that's awesome. Yeah. So, sorry, that was a long answer. Yes, Joe.
Yeah, so let's say you work with a context. I'm sure you've worked in college ministries where there's a portion of college students that might be more, let's say, passive, somewhat interested in the Christian faith and things like that, but kind of passive, disinterested. And let's say this particular group is like struggling with lack of motivation and things like that. So like mentoring would sound very like intense for them. What would be your tips in helping them, or even if it's not directly mentoring them, like what do you do with the college students who aren't really pursuing you for 7:30 a.m. meeting, and you're pursuing them?
Do something they want to do.